All right, we are back for another R. Bill Simmons podcast. It's been a while in the life of Tribe, your host. Been busy personally, been busy professionally, but I'm back to the grind, providing great podcasts for all the fans out there. So thank you for being okay during this break. But the pods are coming back with the vengeance. And we got a classic three-man weave for you. The evolutionary Steiny Moe and Rick Bucher from the early BS Report days. We got Bob Weir and Pop. We've had them on multiple times now. So we're kind of doing this every so often. So why don't I introduce Pop? What's going on, man? How are things in the West Coast over there?
What's up, Tribe? It's good. I just finally got into the 70s after being like 90s, 100s for a while, so feeling good.
And then Bob Weir, we actually came close. We live in completely different places, but we actually came close to potentially even seeing each other. So maybe one day we can have a pod in person, but until that day, we'll have to settle for this.
Yeah, it's unfortunate I missed you, but in the meantime, I have to say this. Go Rangers. I have to.
You know, it would be funny if they were playing the team of the former person who would guest on these pods. That could have gotten pretty intense in terms of the chat back and forth. But as an inside joke to the listeners, we'll leave it at that. But let's do this. Let's open up here with the state of the BS pod, because this has kind of been it's been the topic we've been touching on. Obviously, the sub is all about it. You know me, I'm a Hall saying he's in his Nadir Canyon. So, am I being too harsh on Bill saying he's in his Nadir Canyon, or are you guys enjoying the BS pod lately?
I am not a every pod listener for Bill. I listened to the Doc one today, which I thought was pretty awesome. And I listened to the NBA over-unders one, which I also thought was highly entertaining. I don't know if anything seems very different to me in general.
Yeah, I listen to pretty much every pod. Actually, yeah, I think every pod. And I could see where you're coming from, Tribe. I don't listen back to old podcasts, but yeah, Bill's definitely kind of running out of juice. Like he's clearly not in his prime. But personally, I enjoy it just as much as I ever have, because Bill is less of a like content thing for me, and more of just like of a personality hang, if that makes any sense. And he's still the same kind of goofy, irrational, like somewhat delusional guy he's always been. I mean, that's still there. He's just clearly not working as hard on his podcasts, and not working as hard to bring in a more eclectic, like different group of guests. So I don't know. I listen to like three or four like podcasts a day, and like most of those are basketball podcasts, so I don't really get tired of the basketball talk. But even with that said, I'm not a very active listener. I'm often doing other things. I'm not ever just listening to podcasts, and there'll be like 20 minutes where like, oh crap, I didn't hear a single thing that was said. So I don't know. I'm biased, I guess.
Someone either on the sub or in our fantasy group chat said this, but it's like they said something about Bill. It seems like he's been maybe borrowing other people's takes more. Do y'all either of y'all kind of can y'all speak to that?
I thought Pop probably you'd be better than me at this for current takes, but I definitely remember years ago listening to Zach Lowe and Bill when Bill had just started the Ringer, and he was stealing takes from Zach Lowe and presenting them as his own, even on a podcast he did with Zach Lowe. So yeah, I'm curious of that as well. Like Pop, if you're hearing takes that Bill's saying from other NBA podcasters or not.
Well, I mean, I listen, like I said, I listen to a lot of NBA podcasts. There's not a lot of different takes. They're pretty much,
Probably true. Yeah.
yeah, all the takes are pretty similar.
Yeah, you can only repackage something so many different ways, right?
Yeah, and especially, the kind of the NBA echo chamber. Like it's a lot of the same guys saying the same things. Not a lot of diversity of thought or background in the NBA world. There's some, But yeah, there tends to be a lot of overlap.
Do you think that's because people's opinions are kind of just similar in general? Or do you think that in today's NBA, where we just have an overload of statistics and information and ways to watch these games, is it just that, you know, at a certain point, everyone is going to start arriving at the same conclusions once you're given a certain amount of information?
Yeah, I think that's it. And I also think a lot of it could be osmosis. You know, I think a lot of these guys are listening to other content and reading tweets and reading articles. And I think it's easy to, you know, you're watching the games, you're taking all this content. I think it's easy to just regurgitate it as your own and not really realize what you're doing, especially when you're talking for a living like this. It's just, you know, a lot of off the top of the head stream of conscious. And I think it's a very easy thing to happen. Mm. Like, I'm sure we'll do it during this podcast.
Yeah. And I can see Bill legitimately believing the takes were his own.
Yeah. That's
just what his brain's going to think. Mm. Yeah. So look, I admit I'm kind of hard on Bill, but I have to offset some of the, you know, the love for him still. But I did want to come back to what you said, Pop. Yeah, about the interview. So that was a very interesting reveal on Jimmy Traina. So this is a topic we wanted to hit on. I'll bring it up now, where Bill's doing this media tour, which, I mean, I'm hyping it up with media tour. He did two interviews, but for Bill, that's pretty big because he rarely ever does media interviews. He did one with Bloomberg, which is like more of a financial type of setting, which is interesting. And then he did one with Jimmy Traina, which is sports media. So a lot of fun stuff from that one. A lot of positives from that one too, in my opinion. One of them is that Bill clearly follows sports media very closely, which was cool to know, because I think he made some of his bones doing sports media analysis way back when. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Jimmy asked him, like other people have asked him, why are you not doing celebrity interviews? Because I think ultimately people like the interviews that Bill does with the celebrities or have. And Bill pretty much gives him the answer that he doesn't like doing them anymore. And even when he was doing them, he did zero prep for them. So from Bill's perspective, like, I mean, what? Maybe I'm hoping he could be a little bit more honest and just say that he doesn't want to prepare for him, but I guess he's not actually going to say that. But I just love that he fully admitted that he doesn't do any research before any of these interviews. And it was just like, all right, well, the tribe opinion of Bill is completely vindicated because he's admitting that he's not doing anything.
Yeah, that, yeah, he's mentioned that before. That definitely wasn't the first time I heard that take from Bill on Jimmy Traina's podcast. I don't know where I heard it, but yeah, there's, and then we've also talked about this. You know, he lost Tommy Alter, who was apparently doing a lot of that celebrity booking. I don't know who they have doing that now or how hard that is to replace. I have no idea, but
do you think
knows?
It's that Allison girl that Russillo talks about a lot?
Yeah, is she the one from the Levitard show?
I don't know.
That sounds right. She didn't come over with Levitard when they left ESPN. I wonder if that's because she used to be their talent booker.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, do you think that? I mean, I assume if she's booking talent for Ryan, she's probably also doing it for Bill, but maybe not.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. But Tribe, can I ask you something? Why do you think he did Jimmy Traina's podcast of all the different sports media podcasts out there?
Beautiful question. I love thinking about that. Yeah. So there's a couple thoughts for me on that. One is that he knows Jimmy is such a massive fan of his that he's not going to get tough questions. And for anybody who listened to that, I guess for anyone who didn't listen to it, Jimmy basically says up front, he's a massive Bill fan and like, you know, laughing about it, like, screw you if you think I'm sucking up to Bill, because I actually am going to suck up to him. He basically says that, like, almost verbatim, I think. So Bill knows that it's going to be an easy interview. And I think if I am Bill and I'm surveying the landscape of I've made the decision, I'm going on a podcast or two to kind of boost my Bill Simmons' expiring contract deal with Spotify and get my message out there. Let me go to the easiest one possible, which would be Jimmy, because I think the other The two other ones I think you would go on and maybe add any ideas if you think I'm missing any, but the two other ones would be Marchand and Oran Sports Podcast and Richard Deitch Podcast.
Yep, those are the two I was thinking of.
Yeah, and I think both of them would ask pretty tough questions. I think Richard would, and I certainly think, like, Marchand does ask pretty tough questions to a lot of the guests, so I would not be surprised if he did the same thing with Simmons. So, yeah, that's why I think you went with Jimmy.
I also know that, I'm sure everyone does, but I listen to Jimmy Trina's podcast from time to time, and he's mentioned trying to get Bill and not being able to get him. Like, he's mentioned that before. And this also makes me wonder, is like, okay, like, does Bill have a relationship with Jimmy Trina? Is, you know, if Trina, like, writes something about Bill, are we to assume it's coming from him now? Do you think he's just like, you know, like he could use Bill as a source now? I don't know. I just like trying to connect those tea leaves.
I'm going to say that mostly it's been a one-sided relationship of Jimmy trying to get Bill on the pod. And then Bill finally said, you know what, let me hop on, and this is a good place for me to air out some stuff. Now, so something he aired, which again goes back to a previous point of yours, Pop. So he said his podcast is more popular than ever. Now, I could be classic, you know, annoyed tribe and say, I don't believe Bill. I think that's bullshit. But no, I'm not going to be. I'm going to believe Bill. And the reason I'm going to believe Bill is because I think he's picking up a lot of NBA fans and Rewatchables fans. And yeah, the people like me and Bob who don't listen as much will still listen some, but that's the minority of his previous listeners. And he's adding more listeners through the popularity of the NBA. So to Bill's point, and it wasn't in the Jimmy Trina pod, but this is what he said in the Lucas Shaw Bloomberg interview. He almost like had a nod to the haters. He's like, take that, haters. The podcast is doing better. And people say I'm washed up. So, like, I would argue, I think the podcast is at its nadir canyon in terms of quality. But I can't argue with the data, which I'm sure is out there. Like, this is data that anyone looking to sign Simmons could probably get, the download data. The download data is probably pretty good. So in Bill's mind, he's doing totally fine. And why would he change anything up? So I think, like, from his perspective, he absolutely has a point, not to mention he's rich and has 8 Malibu beach houses because he sold his company for $200 million.
So where do you think he's hearing that the podcast is slipping? Like, who are the haters? Where? How is he taking this in?
I mean, it's a fantastic question because it's Mr. I don't check my replies.
And or is he on Reddit? I mean, like, where else could he hear this or see this other than Twitter and Reddit? Where else is there? I don't know. I have no idea.
Zoe and Ben have stopped listening.
I mean, can I be selfish and arrogant and say this podcast?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because, you know, you say something like that, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, Bill Simmons' Twitter and Bill Simmons' Reddit is a pretty niche part of his audience.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the subreddit's 50,000 people with maybe like a couple thousand contributing, and he probably gets millions of listens for every episode.
Yeah. Like, I that just makes me curious. Like, is this something he misses? Obviously, something he hears a lot, or he's like just doing a Michael Jordan thing and inventing like slights.
No, I do think he's actually heard that the pod's not as good.
I know, but from who?
It's probably Twitter replies. It's probably Twitter replies. That's what I would bet.
Okay.
Because he's blocked me in multiple accounts, so he does read Twitter replies.
Yeah, he can't block you if he didn't know you existed, you know?
Yeah, he had to read the comment.
That's
he
funny.
Had to read my comment calling out how poorly he did on any given Wednesday, which is what got me blocked on R. Bill Simmons' podcast.
Oh, wait, when was this? Recently?
Oh, this was early. So I started the account in January of this year. This was early on because
because
I was trying to get, like, you know, I was tweeting and trying to tweet under Bill's tweets to get popularity. And I said something. I did some tweet about an early podcast, and I was like, yeah, like, why, like, we explain why Bill was bad on TV. And then I quote tweeted that in a comment to Bill, and then, like, boom, immediately I was blocked.
Got it. Okay. I just wasn't sure if you meant it was from all the way back when any given Wednesday was on the air. Got it.
No, that would be my which I like to retweet occasionally, my takedown of any given Wednesday from 2016 when it was still going on. All right, Bob. So, Bob, you're in the camp of Simmons is pretty similar in terms of your auditory pleasure from listening to Bill Simmons.
Yeah, I don't know if it to me. I was whenever he took that break. When would he take that break? That's August, probably.
Yeah, mid July through almost the end of August. Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the first few episodes when he came back, and then. Just as you know, as time has gone on since then, I've gotten busier and not had as much time to listen to podcasts, but I still check into the big ones, the over and unders, the Doc Rivers one, like I said today. But to me, it's kind of the same shtick, right? It's still him, you know, not doing his homework and making some somewhat lazy, but still entertaining comps like Austin Reeves is, his potential is Manu Ginobili, or you know, takes like that, which I appreciate, and they're entertaining. As we've said in this, I think the last time we did this three-man weave, he's an entertaining podcaster, and I enjoy listening to him, but I'm not going there for serious critical analysis.
Yeah, Bob, let me click in on that. So what podcast do you listen to? Where does the BS pod fit amongst your podcast diet?
So I listen to, when it comes to Ringer pods, I listen to every Russillo pod.
Okay, very nice.
I, ever since the last time, not last time, but two times ago, when Van came on Russillo's pod and did life advice, I have, ever since then, I have been an every episode listener to Higher Learning. I think that's a great pod too.
Very nice, okay.
Yeah,
I never tried it. I wanted to give it a shot. Okay.
It's good. I like it. Okay. I'm a fan. It's Van's personality, you know, kind of. To the nines, because he's got a very, you know, long form podcast to express, you know, a lot of his Van opinions, but I really enjoy it. And I think Rachel,
I like Van a lot. How's the girl on there?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Okay.
She is wicked bright, like very smart, you can tell. So a lot of what she has to say is, it's interesting. And then she was on The Bachelorette, I think,
right,
years ago. So she kind of has a lot of personal experience, you know, with Hollywood and celebrities that kind of ties to The Bachelorette. I also have become an every listener to Plain English, Derek Thompson's pod. So,
wow. So yeah. Simmons is being market corrected by his Ringer staffers. This is incredible.
Yeah. I listen to some non-Ringer pods too, but I think that's probably my Ringer diet right there.
Because one of the questions I was going to pose, and I will pose it now for either of you guys to answer, has Ryan Russillo market corrected Bill Simmons?
Pop, do you want to go first on this one, or want me?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, the thing with podcasts is, like, you know, they don't all come out at the same time. So, I mean, for me, who listens to a ton of podcasts, I just listen to them as they come. Like, it's very rare where I have to make a choice between one or the other.
Mm.
If you understand what I'm saying? But with that being said, I'll always listen to Bill before Ryan, even though I listen to all of Ryan's podcasts too. Although I do usually skip his guests, unless it's someone I'm really interested in. But no, I don't. For me, I wouldn't say so. I don't know if, you know, if you feel that way or the majority of the sub feels that way, but they still kind of itch different scratches for me, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to kind of say something along those lines. They're just very different to me. You know, the whole idea of Bill not doing research before he has an interview is like completely the antithesis of what Ryan is, right?
Yes. Could not be more polar opposites in that regard.
Yeah. But to your point, though, I just feel like they're kind of different. Now, that all being said, I did at one point in time, I was an every episode listener of the BS pod, and I'm not now. Mm-hmm. And I am of Ryan's pod. So I guess when you think about it that way, I mean, I guess he's market corrected him in that sense, just like he has supplemented, or sorry, he has replaced my kind of regular every episode pod, sports pod, but I don't, it's not the same entertainment, I guess, that I'm getting out of.
Because the reason I'm saying this is because it was that one week, maybe a week ago. So look, I'm a Boston fan, so I liked when Russillo had Pedro and Gronk on his podcast, but I think both of those guys are very interesting guests regardless, because Pedro's doing media for TBS. They have the championship series. He's in the mix. He's got a lot of interesting opinions on things. He's, you know, they have, like, Pedro is sort of the Barkley of that TBS show. So that's a very interesting guest to get, and it's during baseball playoffs. And then you have Gronk, who sort of the same thing. Gronk is on, he's basically replacing Jimmy Johnson for half the shows in person on Fox NFL Sundays. So he's a pretty big get. And then he also played. So I thought Russillo had a great interview of both Gronk and Pedro, especially Pedro gave him new information about what happened in Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS. I hadn't heard Pedro say that before. So
I'm was kinda, that the Grady Little game?
Yeah, that was the Grady Little game. And okay. So I'm kind of looking at it and going, this used to be a Bill Simmons podcast. Like, if you told me 7 years ago, mm-hmm. I'm getting a BS report with Gronk and Pedro for in October, I'm like, fucking hell yeah. Sign me up. This is going to be golden.
Yeah.
But that's just like not even in the ether of what a BS pod could be right now. So like to me, that was the clear, like, Bill's pod is Nadir Canny and Russillo is surpassing him because he's getting much more quality guests for the moment. Yes, I totally get it. The Bill focuses more on the NBA now, but bro, you got three pods a week. You don't have to do NBA for 2.5 pods a week, which is basically what he's doing now.
Yeah, you know, now that you put it that way, it is pretty crazy that I did like when Bill would mix in your random, like, person he doesn't usually talk to every once in a while, like a Pedro or a Gronk. He used to do that a lot, especially when he was at ESPN. But with that being said, Ryan had those guys on. I was, like, not interested, skipped it, skipped right to life advice. But if Bill had those guys on, I 100% would have listened.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why is that? Just their interviewing styles?
Yeah, I think so. I just think Bill, I don't know. I kind of like Bill's like goofy, like weird energy with celebrities more than Russillo's energy with celebrities or like professional athletes.
Yeah.
Like there's just this, I feel like Bill gets more out of them.
Why don't we transition a bit to today's Doc Pod? Both you guys listen to this?
Yes.
Yes.
So speaking of good energy, like I felt like the energy between Bill and Doc was very solid. And I felt this way in their first pod earlier. I think it was after the NBA season. They kind of did like an overview of the playoffs. Dude, like they're joking with each other. They're doing back and forth. I mean, they're giving each other shit. That was a pretty decent pod, I got to say.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of like the rapport he had with Steve Kerr, I feel like.
Mm. Yeah, you could tell that. I don't know. I think Doc probably just really, I know he has some history with Bill, but I get the sense that he really appreciates that Bill really just wears his fandom on his sleeve, right? And I think that's, you know, at least Bill's not being, at least he's being open about it, right? And I think that's other people, other interviewers, podcasters, you know, they might come to the table with similar biases. They're just not open about them, and they're not going to, you know, express them like Bill does. And I think that someone like Doc can probably appreciate that.
Plus, he's employing both of his kids.
Ooh. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Well, like, you can tell they're boys because, like Doc is texting with Bill. So if they have that good enough relationship, then it does make sense that'll come across in the podcast. Whereas, you know, to your point, Pop, if Russillo's having on Doc, it's going to be a pretty standard interview or coach or media member interview.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the thing with Bill. For whatever, I don't know how he does it, but Bill just has this way about himself where anyone he interviews, even if he just met them, it feels like they're old friends. Mm-hmm. Like
Except if it's women.
What's that?
I said, except when women come on the pod.
Yes, except with women. That's yes. Yeah, 100%. You are correct there. But yeah, Russillo, I like Russillo a lot, but there's just a more of an uneasiness to him.
Yeah,
I could totally agree.
It's almost like Ryan wants to make sure that, you know, he seems cool through the interview at the same time.
Yeah, it's always like he's trying to prove something.
The vibe I get that Bill doesn't mind if he looks stupid or silly in an interview, while Ryan's like, no, don't mess this up. Make sure that
I just don't think Bill's self-aware enough to realize he's stupid and weird.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you on that for sure.
Russillo is very self-aware.
Well, and speaking of this awareness, my jaw dropped when Jimmy Traina was complimenting Bill on his Julia Louis-Dreyfus interview, which if you go back and re-listen to it, I think it's awkward, but yes. All you got to do is just go, because all of these are archived on Reddit. Just all people have to do if they want to get a taste of what people were thinking about these podcasts, you just search R. Bill Simmons and the podcast title or the guest, and it pops up as the episode description. So I tweeted a few of the screenshots of the comments, and like everybody was saying, this is an awkward conversation. They especially were saying, okay, so this is where Bill's, like, not to get in my soapbox here, but like, this is where Bill's lack of prep kills him, because Julia Louis-Dreyfus has stated that she hates when people tell her they loved Elaine and wanted her as their girlfriend when they were watching the show, because she considered Elaine to be a very selfish person that she didn't like, an unlikable person, and, you know, she didn't like, you know, what, she's very different than the character. So then, of course, Bill, when he's interviewing her, he goes to this weird Saturday Night Live thing, and then immediately goes to, oh, I loved Elaine, and I wish she was my girlfriend, or something to that effect. Or I had a crush on Elaine.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, do some fucking research before the pod, because that immediately threw the pod off for the whole podcast.
In Bill's defense, I would love to have Elaine as my girlfriend, too.
Yeah, but she don't say it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's the one that's worth $200 million. I'm a Reddit commenter, so I guess I can't have too much to say. But like, I don't know. I feel like that's some basic research, man.
Was that 2019, 2018 when that interview was? I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But it was just so surprising to me that Jimmy and honestly, like, and people can watch the YouTube interview between Jimmy and Bill. I honestly think Bill was surprised that Jimmy thought that, because I think Bill does have a lack of self-awareness, but I think even he knew that interview didn't go as well as it could have been.
That's funny. Hey, I want to get back to Doc for a second. So it sounds like they have some sort of contractual agreement where he's going to be appearing more during the season, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I gathered too, yeah.
Does that surprise you that ESPN is letting such a high-profile employee do that?
It's a good question. I was thinking the same thing. But now consider this. Remember Stephen A., he goes on Bill's podcast just the one time, but he was promoting how he was doing a podcast himself that wasn't ESPN involved. And he said he had that in his contract that he could do that. So I'm thinking
– okay. Got
yeah, so I'm thinking ESPN signs him to be the lead voice on the broadcast, but then he negotiates in his contract he can do podcasts or whatever.
Yeah, because he's definitely getting paid.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that he should be appearing on the low post, right?
Yeah, and he probably will, I assume. I hope he does, because I'm tired of Zach Lowe's rotation of guests.
Interesting. So that is a common feeling in the Simmons subreddit. People are kind of out on the low post now.
Well, I feel like Zach's bored with his guests too.
Is Zach just bored with his job now?
He might be. Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
He does seem like a pretty smart dude, so maybe he is kind of over the everyday NBA storyline reactions.
Yeah. And, you know, he's getting older and he's got a kid. I don't know. And he always talks about how he moved to the suburbs, and it sounds like he's kind of slowing down.
See, I could see him, like, I think he's making close to a mil a year.
Yeah, he's
now.
Yeah, he's, I believe years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago, I think the contract he signed was for $1 million.
So wow. It's kind of difficult to like feel bad for him, and it's no. difficult to think that he would be changing lanes, but he could strike me as somebody that maybe he would go back into crime journalism or something one day.
Yeah, or maybe write a book.
You don't think he would teach high school math again?
That's so funny.
Did he say
his wife's like a writer too?
What'd you say, Tribe?
I said, did he say what subject he taught in high school math?
I want to say geometry, but that might.
I always thought it was history he taught. Huh.
Oh, maybe. You're probably right. I just knew he taught.
Yeah, but no, I feel you, Pop. I think I think Doc. I'm actually curious. What do you guys think? What do you guys think of the change from we get Jeff Van Gundy out, we get Mark Jackson out, which I think everybody will like, yeah. And we throw in Doc and Doris as the number one team with Mike Breen. What do you guys think of that?
I'm optimistic. I was a big fan of Van Gundy. Did not like Mark Jackson very much, but I'm good with change. I mean, you still got Breen there who, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's perfect for that job. And yeah, I like Doris Burke. Okay. And I really like Doc. I'm excited for Doc. I just think it was time for a change. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I think that we needed to get Van Gundy out of there because the dude was just complaining way too much. I mean, he was taking away from the enjoyment of the game. And then Mark Jackson only delivered lines like mama, here goes that man. So kind of like, yeah, we don't need this anymore.
Mark Jackson was like one of those like toys you had as a kid where you pull the string and there's like six phrases. It's like,
He's like witty.
I'm biased too because I'm a Warriors fan. He was the coach of the Warriors, and he was just like, he's just a clown.
That's right. Yeah, they immediately were amazing when they made the switch to Kerr. But you know what's interesting to me? So I was thinking about this the other day. So, okay, ESPN's like go-to media team for the NBA. You have their countdown show it's now Stephen A. and Will Bond, and then and Bob Myers, right?
Yeah,
and then
Iguodala just signed too.
Oh, good. Okay, I don't know what he's doing for them, but that's their main countdown team, and then their main announcing team is Doris and Doc Rivers. So, and Doc Rivers, he's more known as a coach now, right? Like, yes, he played, but he's giving you the coaching perspective. So,
yeah.
Dude, where are the former players? I contrast that with a TNT show, which everybody says is amazing, and I agree. Barkley, Shaq, amazing players. Kenny Smith, interesting guy. Like, this is probably part of the problem, is that ESPN is not giving you the player perspective when TNT is.
Interesting. I never thought about that.
Why do we need why do we need Stephen A. screaming on NBA Countdown? Which I will give credit to Bill Simmons on the interview with Trina. He said, yes, I like Stephen A, but for First Take, not for NBA Countdown. And he's totally right on that.
Yeah, they've, like, it's been talked about forever, but they've never gotten that show right. It's just a rotating cast of people that don't fit together. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they did have Jalen Rose. I mean, he was the player, ex-player, right? Wasn't that him?
And then he kind of turned into Mark Jackson light with his sound bites. That was bad.
He did, and looked like, I don't know, his appearance was just so distracting.
It really was.
He looks insane. Not that
you'd be hating on appearance, but like, come on. It's a visual medium, so you kind of have to talk about it.
Well, and not only that, but it's just like there was obviously so much work put into how he looked. It wasn't like, you know, he's a Van Gundy and like, hey, this is just what I look like, deal with it. Like, that was a cultivated look.
Yeah. It was jarring. It was like, bro, like, this is way too much work, and this is distracting.
Yeah, you look like a cartoon character or something.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, Pop, you wanted to talk some Giannis.
Oh yeah. Well, I just, we were talking about it on the fantasy chat. We thought it might be good fodder because we actually were on opposite sides of the coin on this one.
Yeah, so your perspective is that you think the Bucks fans are overreacting to the media saying that Giannis might have actually been thinking about leaving.
I do. It goes back to, you know, they're jumping on Bill too for saying that that's why the one of the owners like sold his stake in the team and all that. And I mean, the Bucks were clearly insecure and worried about Giannis leaving, right? I mean, wouldn't most people agree with that?
I think so. That's why they traded for Damian.
Exactly. I mean, I think, you know, trading for Damian would be a good move regardless, but I don't know. It definitely felt like that was more of a trade to like, hey, we need to do everything we can to extend this Giannis window, even if it screws us like 5 years down the road. Let's just get Dame in here, get the extension signed, and we'll go from there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so are you suggesting that if they didn't do the Dame trade, Giannis doesn't sign the extension?
Yes. That's 100% what I believe. And that I think that's what most NBA media says too. And guys, but, like, yeah. I guess the only really guy I'm talking about is Ben Thompson, who threw like a fit
about yeah, it. Ben Thompson has been on. I actually think Ben Thompson won't be invited back on the pod for a while because he kind of hit back at Simmons, made in fun of him. And yeah, I don't think Simmons liked that.
Wait, what's this?
Well, the last time Ben was on, I mean, he was taking such a victory lap. And, like, usually it's Bill who's taking the victory laps in the BS pod. It's a very rare occurrence to have a guest do that. So, this is post-Dame trade. He was very excited. I was happy. I posted my – I mean, it's not even my original image, but I use it now. But I posted the – George Bush 9/11 meme with Bill on the Bucks subreddit, and the Bucks subreddit was eating it up. They loved it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they, you know, it's just typical like small town teams, small time fans, and they just kind of, you know, they have a chip on their shoulder. They think everyone's out to get them. Oh, the media is so desperate for Giannis to leave. Oh, they're gonna make you. And if Giannis did leave, they'd all be blaming the media for it. It was their fault, you know. They poisoned his mind. Our poor, like, impressionable Giannis. I don't know. I just think it's kind of pathetic, but entertaining nonetheless.
So my question for you, Pop, do you think that he really, truly was interested in going? Or do you think he was doing, like, the classic LeBron thing of, I'm going to kind of put up a stink to see if they will acquire someone or anyone?
I mean, I don't know. I think, I mean, who knows? But I think Giannis is a pretty genuine and guy, and LeBron's more calculated and, you know, likes to work the back channels and is passive aggressive. I don't think Giannis is like that. I think he's truly uncomfortable with making people unhappy, especially like authority figures, you know, and I don't think that was like the little nuggets he was dropping like to the media was less him being passive aggressive and more of him being honest without hurting feelings or trying to sound ungrateful to the Milwaukee, you know, the Bucks franchise.
One I thought was fascinating, that a spillover effect of that trade was that Drew Holiday ends up on Boston.
I know, like that's the fun question is, do the Bucks make that trade if they know Drew Holiday is going to the Celtics?
Yeah, I have to imagine probably not, right?
They'd have to think really hard about it.
Yeah, because that really, I mean, they were talking, Bill and Doc were talking about it today, but it does really seem like he's kind of the perfect fit for what they need.
And, you know, this is like a hot take, and I get a lot of shit on this for the sub, but I really do think that Drew Holiday's gives you a better shot at winning the championship than Dame. I think Dame's a better player in the vacuum, but Drew's just, he's like a, he elevates championship contender teams. That's the type of player you need. It's kind of similar to, like, I said a similar thing on the sub recently that I said Andre Iguodala is, like, more valuable to a franchise that wants to win championships than, like, Carmelo Anthony. I think it's a similar thing.
I think I probably agree with you on that one, Pop. I mean, we haven't really seen Dame kind of put into that situation other than a few Western Conference finals where he was clearly overmatched, or was maybe just one. Yeah. Has he only been to one now or two?
Yeah, he's been one Western Conference final. Yeah, yeah, just guys like Drew and Iguodala, they just do so many small things. They're like these – it's kind of like the, you know, like the Jeter play where he flipped – he cut off the ball and flipped it to home. It's like these plays that you wouldn't even think of doing that are just purely instinctual hustle plays that win games. And, you know, those are the type of players you need. You need those, like, Hall of Fame-level role players to, like, win championships, and those guys are perfectly suited for those roles. Like, they play defense, like, they get timely rebounds, you know, it's just things like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what's Dame going to do for you besides just score?
I mean, I do think that he provides a little bit more than just scoring, but I think I agree with the overall sentiment that you're expressing here.
And I'm definitely being a little contrarian, but there's a little bit of that in my take. But
I just think about, like, I don't know, you two know this, but I'm a Spurs fan, and I remember watching, like, a lot of Tony Parker and Manu before, you know, those guys were never, you know, 30 point pregame scorers, but you know, they had Hall of Fame careers because they were willing to do those types of things that Drew Holiday's willing to do.
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, I just can't imagine Dame, like, grabbing, like, a, you know, like a rebound in a tight spot, or like swiping down and like stealing the, you know what I mean? Just little things like that. Like, he's just not that kind of player.
I guess I think the one flip side to that is that Drew has been pretty awful in the playoffs scoring wise, right? So I think the idea is hopefully Dame can maybe correct that for them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But I just think the Bucks defense is really going to suffer without having a single point of attack defender. Yeah. Like, so much of their defense is predicated upon, like, you know, Drew kind of like stifling the guard's initial penetration and stuff like that. But anyway, we're getting too deep in the weeds of basketball talk.
You're not like too afraid of Pat Connaughton or anything like that?
God, no. You know, he's a really good rebounder for a guard, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah. If we start talking more NBA and Sixers, you're going to kind of remind me of the previous podcast guest. I don't mean to be a hater of this guy. I just thought.
Hey, I was on those pods too.
Yeah, I'm not being a hater, man. If you're listening, you know,
he's definitely listening.
Just didn't work out between us. Okay, so let's do this, because I thought that reminded me. Yeah, Bob, can we get a Wemby check-in? How are you?
Oh, thinking? Man. Oh, stoked! As soon as we're done here, I will be watching that game. I mean, most of my attention lately has been on baseball because of the Rangers. But it is, I mean, you heard the conversation today between Doc and Bill, but the length is unreal, and he can use it all over the court, not just in the post. That's pretty insane. Very excited, needless to say. Now, I will go ahead and go on the record and say I'm very excited, even with, you know, an implicit understanding that there is a decent chance that, you know, he will have an injury-riddled career just being that thin. But even taking that, like, it's pretty exciting.
So the length that he can use all over the place, similar to Dwight Howard, better or worse?
I thought Dwight Howard is more interested in other people's length.
Yeah.
Man, that was I was working today and I pop into our chat and I'm like, oh my, what's going on here? What did I just stumble into with Dwight? that's a bizarre one. All right, let's do this, because as a non-NBA hole, let's do a little guest the lines check-in. How are we feeling about guest the lines? Because I'll start briefly myself. Look, I love the fact that the Patriots are finally bad. it's hilarious for the content. And I felt like the most recent pod was fun because I felt like Bill was finally admitting, like, yeah, I'm not in the best position as a Pats fan, because at the beginning of the year, he was making total excuses for them and saying they're going to be this amazing team. They're even with the Dolphins. Look at how they played the Eagles and Dolphins, best two teams in the league. And then he completely switched that around to, oh, tanking for Caleb Williams. He is, I think he literally said in the podcast, he's the best prospect since Mahomes, or he's like the next Mahomes. Like, come on, give me a break. So, but what I felt like, so that was kind of annoying me. Like, not that Tribe here should be getting annoyed by what Bill Simmons says, but that was like, come on, man. But the most recent podcast I liked because he finally was like at peace and said, yeah, the Pats suck, but they're not going to tank to get Caleb. And so I'm kind of in no man's land. I'm like, all right, at least Bill could get to admit that maybe the Pats, after this amazing 20-year run, aren't in the best possible spot like you would have wanted them to be. So I kind of liked a little bit of humbleness from Bill as a Pats fan this past pod.
He's also kind of given up on the idea that he can't get Caleb pretty early, right? I mean, they're only – the Pats are 2-5. And there's not – are there any winless teams still in the NFL? I think every team has at least won one game.
Have the Panthers won?
Oh, no. So, okay. But they're not drafting a quarterback.
Oh, they're not? Right?
Yeah, so they – I mean, if the Patriots have, like, the third pick, then
– I don't know.
Don't the Bears have the Panthers pick?
Yeah, that's true. Anyways.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Good call, Tribe. Good call.
Yeah. And, you know, I say that earlier, like, I mean, I guess it's a moot point now, given what Tribe just said. But, I mean, I do distinctly remember what happened with Josh Rosen, right? I was certain the Cardinals weren't going to draft a quarterback that next year because they wanted to develop Rosen. And way wrong.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing, yeah.
But, okay, so back to Guess the Lines. I admittedly have only listened to two or three of them this year. But one thing that's been interesting is Sal's like slowly realizing that the Cowboys aren't quite what he's hoping they would be after that week one performance when they, what, their defense just ate Daniel Jones alive in week one. Then as time has gone on, that defense has gotten exposed. They got exposed big time against San Francisco, right?
Yeah, that was a blowout. It was never close.
But it seems like Sal, you know, not that Sal is like a very overeager type. He's kind of he's more like Russillo, I think, in that he was going to always try to play it cool a little bit. But you can hear it.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Tribe, speaking of Sal, have we ever talked about the fact that he started that company, then left and went to the Ringer? Like, did we talk about that?
We have not. So let's get into it right now.
And it's especially weird that, you know, he left, you know, the two guys, you know, Damashek and Kevin Hench, you know, in the Bill Simmons orbit are still there doing the show. Like, are they on good terms? Like, what was that all about? Like, because Damashek left his NFL Network gig to do that.
Yeah, I am so fascinated by all this. If the listeners couldn't tell, I love the sports media angle of everything. Yeah, it's a great question. I take it back to, like, for a couple years, like, I feel like it's better now, but for a couple years there after Sal had left, especially the first year after he left and he took his friend's pod to Extra Points, his new company, I'm like, the Sal and Bill relationship on the pod felt more businesslike than friends talking. And I feel like now it's a little bit more friend-like. Probably because they're, you know, they're in business together again, as opposed to Bill potentially being annoyed that Sal went out. So, yeah, is there some exchange of money there? I think there absolutely has to be. Like, I assume it's part of Russillo's contract. He's on X amount of Bill pods. So I definitely think that's part of it. And then, like, to me, this leads into, like, what the heck is going on with Bill at Spotify? Because on one hand, it's like he's being given all these titles. The Wall Street Journal article comes out. Bill looks great in it versus everybody else at Spotify. He's like the one success story there. Spotify themselves might want to save face to keep him around. But then on the other hand, he's Bill Simmons' expiring contract going around on the sports media pod. So I'm like, dude, I got I want to know what's going on, but I don't know. And the Cousin Sal stuff complicates it, but it does seem like a Doc Rivers is on. So it's like Bill's getting, you know, he's having good shows. I think The Town with Bellany, like that's a great show that is probably having success for Spotify's. Apparently Bill was potentially involved with Spotify getting that, that Jimmy Kimmel with the late night hosts, the whatever it was called. So yeah, this is, I'm so fascinated by this, but I don't have a good answer for it. I think at the end of the day, it might be Spotify money winning out against trying to strike out on your own and making a media company.
Yeah. And also Bill, he's brought this up multiple times, but he did it again during with the Jimmy Tran thing, how the one major regret he had with how he left ESPN is how he left all of his Grantland employees like in the lurch. And I think that kind of ruined a lot of relationships he had. And would he feel similarly now? I mean, does the union change that where he's like, well, I already took care of my core four, you know, with like, you know, what Sean and CR and, you know, Juliet and Mallory, like they already got a stake in that Spotify deal, right? So who does he, would he feel beholden to anyone in the same way if he just left? Or is he just like, oh, screw most of these people because they're all unionized anyway? Like, I don't know.
I have a kind of dumb question. Does Sal still write for Jimmy?
Good question.
I'm not sure because I don't know how he has time to go to all of his kids' like games during the week if he's writing for Kimmel, because that's like a, I don't know.
He would have to talk about it more, right, on the pod if he were still doing that.
I think or maybe so. Not. Yeah. Did you know Sal was a lawyer?
No.
Before he came out to LA, he was a lawyer.
That's funny.
Or at least he got his law degree. I don't know. I don't know if he ever did anything with it, but he went to law school and passed the bar and everything. Then he decided to come out to LA to work on to try to get into writing, comedy
that's
writing.
Kind of the same story as the girl that's on Higher Learning with Van Lathan. I think she used to be a lawyer too, and now just does media stuff. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, Bob, according to IMDb, Jimmy Kimmel Live 2003 to 2016.
Hmm.
And there's some other stuff after that, which is Cousin Sal's Sure Thing TV series in 2016.
Oh, geez.
Don't remember that. Now, Fox Bet Live, remember that show he did with Clay Travis? So yeah. Writer for that from 2020 to 2021. And then I think he was doing Fox Thursday Night Football spots. So that could have been one of the things he was doing as well. So yeah, it looks like he's not writing for Jimmy Kimmel anymore.
I think he like comes back for big episodes, and I think he's always on Jimmy's writing staff when he does like the Emmys or other award shows.
Yeah, it's got Oscars for him. So yeah, so that's a good observation, because if Jimmy Kimmel Live is not his main source of income, what is? And I think it might have previously been first the Fox Thursday Night Football, and then Fox Bet Live. But then once Fox Bet Live ended, what is it, right?
Well, it was that podcast company he created. And now it's, you know, whatever he's doing, whatever he's getting paid with Spotify, right?
Yeah, so what's also interesting now is that you've also got – so – Spotify could have – okay, this is what's interesting to me. Spotify could have easily just bought out the podcast company, but they didn't. They only brought Sal back. And isn't that a slap in the face to Dame Shack? But then there's –
well, that's what I keep wondering.
Dame Shack,
yeah.
Bill, apparently, because like Dame Shack cheated on his wife, but then Bill's wife was friends with Dame Shack's wife. This is what the subreddit says. This is all speculation.
You know what? Like, I've been a huge fan of Damashek since he was on the Adam Carolla podcast. And I remember finding his wife's blog where she talked about that.
Okay.
And
there's some bad blood there.
Yeah. And I even met Damashek once. He's very nice. But Yeah, that, I don't know, because Bill, Damashek was definitely on the podcast after the divorce a few times, but not for a long time now. I don't know what the deal with that is.
Yeah, there's something there. Well, I mean, like, Corolla hasn't been on the pod in a while too, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's kind of a similar thing, right? And Damashek still has Corolla's pod.
Well, and so then the question is always, are they friends in real life but just not doing the pod, or are they actually not friends anymore?
Well, I mean, they're still in that fantasy football league together, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't know.
Yeah. Wait, why does that not mean anything?
Football league doesn't. Well, depending on the member or members.
Well, no, I mean, if you're in a fantasy league with people forever, it doesn't mean you have to be like best friends with them hanging out. You just, you know, you want to, I don't know.
You guys can't see, but I'm crying right now. That's sad. Hang out with y'all all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, I think I would be curious. Is John Hamm still in this league? Like, are we?
He's a co-owner with someone, I believe.
Yeah, but is he doing 5% of the owning? Who knows?
I don't know. They brought up how he'd come to the drafts, and that one time they voted him out, he just got up and left and didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Because Kevin Hench's wife was best friends with John Hamm's longtime girlfriend.
Ah, interesting.
And Kevin Hench's wife also was the leading lady in Adam Carolla's movie The Hammer, of whom he made out with, which is weird.
Oh, yeah. When I was looking at Sal's IMDb, he was writer for The Man Show for all 75 episodes or whatever.
Yeah. Hamm does seem to come up in their stories a lot. Like, I know Kyle, nephew Kyle's, told a couple stories about smoking heaters with John Hamm at Vegas Summer League or something like that. So I think he still is in the mix. Whether or not he's in the fantasy league, I don't know. But
yeah, I think Hench kind of brought him into the circle. And then Hamm's like, I think, isn't he part of like that Aniston and Kimmel crew that all hangs out?
Oh, is there an Aniston and Kimmel crew? I wasn't aware.
That Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like they vacation together and stuff. And I believe Hamm's part of that, but I don't know.
Were they in that one picture of all the white people like 3 months ago?
Yes. I think that's the one.
Gotcha.
I believe so. I'm not sure if Hamm was in it. Jennifer Aniston definitely was. I don't know.
Yeah, John Mulaney was. I think he was in it. I remember seeing him.
He brought the party drugs.
Oh, jeez. Oh, so we'll close out in a little bit here. But one of the other things I wanted to touch on from the Jimmy Trana interview, because Poppy reminded me of it. So, talking about, you know, if Bill leaves and Spotify and his if his people come with him or not. So, again, I'm like mostly a hater of Bill Simmons these days, but I respect and I comment when I appreciate the things he does and says. So in that Jimmy Trana interview, he said he regretted saying the Goodell comments that got him fired, because ultimately it led to Grantland being dissolved and he let a lot of people down with that. So first of all, I was happy to hear him say that, because I think that's been a point, that's been an issue that people have had with him. But secondly, to your point, Pop, that does potentially imply he doesn't want to do that again. So either he stays at Spotify and tries to keep the people there, or his contract is lined up with some of the other all-stars that he likes working with, and then he'll pivot to a new company and work with them somewhere else.
Yeah, that's the big question. And I mean, but that's the thing. The Ringer is such a big company. I mean, these writers spring up that I've never even heard of, you know? Like, how much is the divide between people who appear on podcasts and people who just write? You know what I mean by that? Like,
I mean, are how there much people who are just writing on The Ringer these days?
Yeah, isn't that, wasn't...
Because their days should be numbered. I mean, not to be a hater, but like, this is just the economic reality of the business.
No, right? I agree. Like, isn't Miran Faber and what's her name, Claire McNear, aren't they still Ringer employees? I never hear them on any podcasts.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, he that's not the first time he's brought that up on the Trana podcast. He's brought that up multiple times before.
Yeah, that's interesting. Go ahead.
But the people he let down, like I was saying, it's the core four, and he already took care of them financially. They're good. But does he feel like any sort of allegiance to like the smaller people? And I don't think he does. I think the whole unionization kind of ruined a lot of that. If it was ever there to begin with, I don't know.
Agreed. Yeah. Also, if anyone out there listening has insight into the Ringer Union, and you want to come on the podcast, like definitely reach out. Because
I want to bring up. Did you see how? Okay, so Jason Concepcion and Shea Serrano have a new basketball podcast, and they've been going on all these shows promoting it. Not one Ringer show. Isn't that weird?
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, six trophies or something like that.
Is
that That is interesting. And Shea has another TV show out too. So it's
I know. Like, say what you want about Shea. I am not a fan of his writing or his podcasting, but he's carved out a nice little budding career in Hollywood. Good for him. I mean, there's some sort of talent there, because I watched his show, the one on Freevee, about that one that's semi autobiographical, and it was really good.
Primo. I think.
Yes, Primo. Yes, yes. I liked it a lot.
He wrote another movie that's on Hulu too called Miguel Wants to Fight. And I actually thought it was pretty entertaining.
Oh, you watched it? You liked it? Okay.
Yeah, I liked it. It's a short watch. It's like an hour, 15 minute long movie. So
it just sucks because they haven't been able to promote any of this.
Right. Yeah, because of the strike and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. Miguel Wants to Fight was a good movie. It's one third of the length of Killers of the Flower Moon. So
perfect length, right? Bill likes perfect length.
Yeah. Tribe, I wanted to also, I did one other thing that you put in the notes that I did want to talk about, is Bill, the 99th percentile, football watcher. and I went and looked at your notes and, man, you kind of remarked some of, Bill's preseason predictions, and did he go 0-6, 0-7 on all of his like hard and fast takes?
It's fucking bad, dude. Yeah, the pod that I did with the gambling guy, who was great. So he was big on the Steelers, which, look, they're okay, but are they great? No, they're not one seed good. He thought the Jets would miss the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. That looks terrible. Obviously thought the Pats were going to be amazing. Ewing theory potential for the Packers? Are you kidding me?
That is so funny.
My Lions and so it was bad, man.
I love that he used Ewing theory with the Packers when it clearly doesn't count. Aaron Rodgers has won a ring there.
Yeah,
I mean, that's classic Simmons though. He makes up these arbitrary rules and theories, and then he just arbitrarily breaks them anytime he feels he can.
I know.
It's like a second career Ewing theory. You know,
these are non-binding rules he creates.
Okay, well, all right. So what's everyone's favorite preseason prediction in hindsight?
The Steelers one. It's just like his Panthers one last year, and he's not getting off it. He's still like sticking with it, just like he did with the Panthers all last year. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I think the Packers one is just too funny to me. Everything about it is just too funny to me.
Well, didn't you love how because Sal had the Vikings, so nobody had the Lions, but they're going back and forth, and Sal's like, how did the Packers improve from last year? And Bill's like, I don't really know. I just think there's Ewing theory potential. Like, this is pure. Like, yeah, again, this is the 99th percentile watcher. Like, literally had no idea what they did, except that they downgraded a quarterback, but the Ewing theory had them. But no, Bob, I love how we all three have different answers. I think it's got to be the Pats.
Yeah.
he was so supercharged for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he called it, the sub called it, I called it, everybody in their right mind called it. I did. I made what I thought was a funny meme with Shallow Hal, where I talked about this in a podcast with Tommy Danger, I think, where, and it didn't get that many likes, but the concept of Shallow Hal that everybody knows, right, is that Jack Black starts seeing women as their personalities would be, as their looks. So if it's a very ugly woman, but she has an amazing personality, she appears as supermodel to Jack Black in the movie. So I put that out there as Bill Simmons looking at the Patriots when Gwyneth Paltrow is 600 pounds, crushes a milkshake at lunch, then breaks a chair. But she's actually 100 pounds when it looks like Jack Black looking at her. It didn't get much love, but like it's like
he's yeah, got I get it now.
Force, yeah, but like he's got this force field around him that he just believes the Patriots are going to be so freaking good, and he looks past. They have no weapons on offense. They have no receivers. They have a okay running back with a good offense, but he's not fast. And Mac Jones is mediocre at best and probably bottom third to quarter of the league. So that to me was just like, dude, I'm a Patriots fan and I knew they weren't going to be good because they have Mac Jones and a bad offense.
Yeah, that's – was it last year? Then he kind of teased a little bit of Mac Jones for MVP, or is that this year?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Yes.
That's – that's beautiful right there. That is absolutely beautiful.
Well, and then I loved how he was like, yeah, it was like earlier this season, preseason. He's like, yeah, I was totally out on the Patriots last year. Like, I know when my teams are good and when they're not. And I know the Pats are good this year. I knew they were bad last year. Bro, if you're throwing out Mac Jones for MVP takes, the Patriots are not going to be bad. I'm taking crazy pills here. Like, what are you talking about, man?
I would love to see the universe where the Patriots are like 7-10, yet Mac Jones is an MVP. What? Something ridiculous has to happen there.
That would be great. Yeah. All right, gents. Anything else we got to cover before wrapping up here?
No, I'm good. My laptop's about ready to run out of juice.
No, yeah, I think we covered it. Good quarterbacking, Tribe, as always.
Yeah, thanks, Tribe.
Thank you. Now there's always a lot to discuss in the BS world, in the subreddit. I feel like the subs come back ever since NFL has been rolling and the NBA is back. So the subs been good lately. So yeah, for anybody else out there, we appreciate all the listens. We appreciate the feedback and the interaction on Twitter and the sub. And yeah, I mean, unless you guys have final last words, we'll wrap it up here. And thanks everybody for listening.
RIP mystery man.
Yeah, that's rough. We got to get Dale back. I don't know where he went, but he's a key sub character. We need him back.
We miss you. He's a fan of the show. Sorry, Pop. Exactly.
No, I heard he's a fan of the show. So hopefully he'll hear us and come back.
I don't know if you're joking or not.
Joking. I don't think you're joking.
I don't know. You could be boys with him. I don't know.
I've chatted with him a few times, so I don't know. I don't think.
Well, if you're listening out there, come back, bud. We miss you, and we'll see you in the debates in the comments section.
Yeah. Come debate AI with me.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, at some point we gotta do that up. But all right, this was fun, and we will see you on a future podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
See you, Pop. See you, Tribe.
See you. Peace.